Where are all my lady listeners at? Because I am talking to you. Is your time of month an easy breezy situation? Or are you like me and for about a week before your period starts, all you want to do is stay in bed and also eat anything and everything? Or maybe you're experiencing the joys of menopause or that sneaky bee perimenopause. Well then ladies, you've got to try Hormone Harmony. Hormone Harmony is made by the Happy Mammoth Company, which I've been a big fan of for a while now. Hormone Harmony contains science-backed herbal extracts called aptogens. Now, here's the beauty about aptogens. They help the body adapt to any stressors like chaotic hormonal changes that happen naturally throughout a woman's life. So Hormone Harmony isn't just for menopause. Any woman with symptoms of hormonal imbalances can take it, but it's perfect for those horrible menopausal symptoms that put a woman's life on hold, like hot flashes, night sweats, racing thoughts, low moods, poor sleep, feeling tired all the time, occasional bloating and gas, no desire to be in bed with someone. You know what I mean? Yes, Hormone Harmony can help with all those things. And the biggest benefit is feeling like yourself again. That's what women mention over and over in their reviews. And there are over 17,000 reviews of Hormone Harmony. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use code CLINK at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use code CLINK for 15% off today. Clink, clink, ladies.
With Mother's Day around the corner, are you thinking about a truly special gift for your mom? Well, let me tell you, mylifeinabook.com is a very unique service. I did it for my mom and my grandmother, and it has been amazing. It basically turns your mom's life stories or your grandmother's or anybody that you think is special in your life into a book. So here's how it works. Every week, mylifeinabook.com will send a question via email to the special person, whoever you choose. You can ask custom questions too, but I just kind of let My Life in a Book choose what questions to ask. And then your special person, like your mom, can type their response or they can record their voice. And My Life in a Book compiles it all in a beautiful keepsake for you. And guess what? They can even create audiobooks. I mean, this is such a unique gift that will last a lifetime for you, your mom, your children, your children's children. It is the best gift you can give. Check out mylifeinabook.com and use our code CLINK at checkout for 10% off. This is an unforgettable gift for you and your mom. Get it today. Use our code CLINK, mylifeinabook.com. Welcome.
Welcome.
Housewives of True Crime bonus time. Hi.
Hi. Bonus, bonus.
It's
right?
A bonus, bonus.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. So listen up, guys. So we are dropping in your feed on a Thursday, which usually you only get us on a Thursday if you listen to our bonus Patreon or our Clink Clink Club on Apple. But today we wanted to give all of you a special listen to one of our bonus episodes that we did a couple weeks ago with singer-songwriter Stephanie Quayle. She is an amazing human being. She wrote a book called
Why We Stay.
Why We Stay. And Gretchy had the opportunity to read it before it came out, but it is now out, or it's going to be out this week.
April 30th.
Oh, April 30th. Okay. So in a couple days, you can pre-order it now. But give us a little synopsis before we get into this interview, Gretchy, about Stephanie's story.
Okay. Well, why I was intrigued to have Stephanie on the podcast was because what the book is about is really a crazy story, is that she was involved with a very charming man, living a pretty like kind of glamorous life with him and raising his child with him. And then he died suddenly in a plane crash. And she found out after he died that it was all kind of a facade. But it is really what the actual story about is just so much more, so much deeper than that on so many levels, why we convince ourselves to see things that are not there, what it's like to be involved with a narcissist, which everybody, if you're not, I mean, I hope you're not, but you probably know somebody who is, or you probably have been at some point. And it's very validating to read about.
Yeah.
And it's just a great, she tells a good story.
Good. Okay. And also, I think we talk about this, but she does read her own story on audiobooks. So download it now. And then you can listen or, you know, read too. But here is Stephanie Quayle with us a couple weeks ago. And if you guys like this and you like to listen to us more, please join our Patreon at patreon.com/housewives of true crime. Or if you listen on Apple, you can go right to your app and it's called our Clink Clink Club. And clink clink.
Clink clink, guys.
Hi, and welcome to Housewives of True Crime.
Welcome.
Welcome.
I am Tabitha. Give me Dateline, white wine, and I'll pick up your kids in the carpool line.
The next day, right?
Yeah, the next day.
Okay. And I am Gretchen. I like white wine, true crime, and in bed by 9 because I have a lot of stuff to do in the morning.
We are Housewives of True Crime.
Yes, we are.
Yes, we are. Welcome.
Welcome, everyone. For your listening pleasure today, we are mixing it up. We talked to Miss Stephanie Quayle. We just got done talking to her. We can't wait for you all to hear it. What I loved about this interview was that from the get, from the second, you know, we're all looking at each other via Zoom, I was like, she's one of us. She's our people.
And 50%.
It was so easy breezy. What a great conversation. We just loved her. We know you guys are all going to just love her too.
Yes. She could definitely be our next best friend and your next best friend. And she has so much great things to say. So you're welcome already for this interview. And I just want to say to Stephanie, just thank you so much for sitting down with us and telling us your story and just also writing that book and being so open and honest. And I know you all will enjoy. So here you have Stephanie Quayle.
Clink, clink.
Clink, clink. Welcome.
Welcome. Today. Go ahead.
I'm just going to.
That's okay. That's okay. It's perfect. We're going to leave all this in.
Amazing.
Yes, we should.
So that's our thing. Mm-hmm. Welcome. Like deep, sexy voice. Welcome. You know,
can you do it, Stephanie? Can you do the deep, sexy welcome?
Welcome.
Oh, yeah.
So listeners, this is Stephanie. It's our pleasure to talk with country superstar, songwriter, and author Stephanie Quayle today. Stephanie has just written a book titled Why We Stay. It is the story of her relationship with a man and upon his sudden death, learning so much of their life together was a facade, which is why I've got to tell you, originally I thought speaking to Stephanie would be so interesting to our listeners because we are a true crime podcast. So we love a good story. But what I found after I read the book and what I think we really connect with is that often Tab and I will describe a relationship's dynamics to preface a story. And it's so clear before we even get into the crime part that someone needs to exit the relationship. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, we identify with being young and so susceptible to that kind of complacency. And in the book, you really break it down as to all the reasons we allow ourselves to make excuses for people and ignore our gut instincts. So can you please tell us about your relationship and some of your experience in that relationship and how you were forced to face the reality of it all?
And something that you just said that just hit me so hard in my mind was, what would have happened if he hadn't?
Right.
Mm-hmm. It was a day like any other day. I was, you know, in this relationship with the man I thought I was going to marry, raising his daughter with him. And, you know, now having the book and having the information and doing the deep dive on myself, there are so many things that had we had this conversation while I was in the relationship, you all would have been like, run.
Yeah.
Run. But I just wanted to believe him, right?
Because he was charming and he had so many cool, the airplane hangar and the Airstream. I mean, that is like speaking my language. I love guys like that. And he could fly. Right. I mean, it's so cool.
Yes. And so he went flying on a Wednesday night with one of his acquaintances or friends. I don't really know. I don't know the person who was in the plane with him. I mean, I know the name. I don't know the person.
Right.
And upon takeoff, the engine stalled. He turned back on the runway and the plane crashed. Mm-hmm. And they didn't survive. I got the call that there had been an accident. I get there as fast as I can with his daughter, hoping that in the event that there's still a chance, right, that they can have a moment. And then 5 days later at the memorial service, there are a lot of women. I was his person. We had a home together. We were building life together. He had a ring. I was raising his kid with him. And that night, it was confirmed that I wasn't the only woman.
Wow. That has got to be a gut punch.
It was otherworldly. Everything about it was so, I don't know, between the brain protecting the brain from trauma and how it compartmentalizes the different pains that, you know, now looking at it, I even writing the book, I had to ask my mom and my stepmom, like, did this really happen? You know, because writing it now 15, you know, at the time, 13 years later, 14 years later, getting into all these little crevices of, wait, did he really say that? Did he really do that? Did that really happen?
Let me ask you, when you said you asked your mom and your stepmom, I mean, they saw the relationship from the outside. And were they like, yeah, we saw things that we just didn't tell you, or maybe we did tell you, but you ignored?
Yes. So they both were concerned. My whole family was concerned. I think one of the things that narcissists are pro at is isolation. And I was very isolated in that relationship. And I knew that if I talked to my family about it, they would be able to see right through my fine. Everything's fine. And so they tried to, you know, share like parents do and try to prep, you know, like try to get me to see the things that I didn't choose to see. But I was so in love and just determined to fix myself because I was clearly the problem.
Well, I'm wondering if right at that moment when you are, you know, at the funeral and you're learning all this, I mean, you talked about like the different signs about how he was flirtatious with women and stuff. That's something we kind of talk about a lot because it is. And one of the things I loved that you said in the book is tell a girl she's crazy enough times, she'll probably believe
100%.
You. And it's those moments. It's that flicker in their eye. It is that just something where it's not like overt, but you catch on to something.
Yes.
Did any of that hit you? Like I was like a validation, like I was right.
1,000%. Like I think that, well, when I learned the information, I remember my friend coming over and all she could say was, you have to move on. Like she was just,
I love that friend in your book. I love her so much,
you know, cause it takes a lot of courage. One of the things that all his friends knew, right, for the duration of, in some ways knew of, I don't know if they knew all, but they knew, and no one came to me during that time. Right. And so when I learned about it, it made it all make sense. But then it's like, how many layers of me exposing him in those moments, saying like, hey, what, like, who's this woman? Or why are you doing that? Or this, that, and the other, and being minimized to crazy, insecure, and just put down into this little, you know, little flicker of a light that was left, you know? And I just, it was heartbreaking and validating. And how do I even sort through this crazy situation, you know? And when I was talking to my mom and my stepmom, as I was writing it, it just, I think I realized how traumatic it was while I was writing it. I don't think I'd ever recognized the impact that had on me, especially being, I was 29 years old when he died. You know, I was early 20s when I first, you know, met him and then got into that relationship with him. I was young and I was so, the word you use that is so potent and hit me too, was susceptible.
Yeah.
I was like a blinking light, like, come and get me. Like, oh, man. And it just, yes. And it also, like my truth lens afterward, I could I would just look at people and be like, nope, they're not being honest. And I wouldn't even, you know, I would just be like, nope. Like I would have zero tolerance really for anything that was gray. It was very black and white after that. But it was also really bad. Like I didn't realize how bad it was. And when I think about, you know, like what would have happened if he hadn't died? You know, I mean, there are times in the book I share where like my life was, you know, I don't know. I wasn't safe.
Yeah.
No, or authentic, or
you weren't being your true self for sure.
No, I was. One of my friends referred to me as a Stepford wife. She was like, it was like you were a Stepford wife because you were just like, you know, everything's fine, robotic.
Yeah.
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 Well, you mentioned your friends, and I was telling you, I love that friend who just has the balls to tell you so bluntly, right, you've got to get over it. I think that having those friends that we can keep it real with is so huge and so rare.
Right. It's so rare. And I'm that friend, but I wasn't that friend to myself.
Yeah.
Right.
Because I think sometimes it's really easy to be who you want to be to others. You know what I'm saying? Like you can see the imperfections or what's going on in somebody else when you're denying it of yourself. I mean, Gretchen and I have both been in relationships that were very toxic, and we stayed also. And then we went and got into another one that was, you know, maybe a little less toxic, but still like, we shouldn't be in this place. You know, thankfully, I think all three of us have managed to get out of those places, but a lot of us still haven't. And we have women writing us, telling us about their current situations, and they're currently in a situation right now where they feel trapped and they can't get out, and they see the flags, you know, they see the red flags, but.
Well, I feel like you need those real friends around you.
Right.
I also think it made me think about, you know, I am that real with Tab. And a couple people.
Right.
But not everybody.
But not everyone.
I know.
Well, it's risky, right? It's risky because you have to be willing to risk the friendship. Right? And that's
so hard.
So hard and I think that at the beginning of the book, you know, my dear friend Michelle, and who I reference in the book, she goes, I will listen to you talk about this relationship but you'll never leave him. And I think about that often, you know, it wasn't like the conversations weren't happening. But the conversation that never happened was he is mistreating you. He's cheating on you. You have to go because he's not going to change. Only you will. And that's really the truth, right? We can't change other people.
Right.
People don't change for others. They change for themselves.
Yes, that is 100% true. And I feel like sometimes, well, I got stuck in that in my 20s, right? Like I can change him.
Right.
Like, why couldn't I change
him? Right.
Can't change him.
I think one of the key points about this whole thing and how we perpetually end up with the same guy over and over and over again is that you bring up, what are we attracted to?
Right.
Is it the charisma or the quality of the person?
Right.
You know? And we keep falling the same. It's very tricky thing.
Yeah.
It's very attractive.
And it can be very misleading, right? Because, you know, like, first of all, I didn't know any of these terms. I didn't know.
Of course not.
I didn't know any of the love bombing. I was like, oh man, look, I'm just getting showered with love. I didn't know.
We've come so far.
Yeah. I know, right? Like, it was so tricky. But, you know, when I finally, you know, got myself sorted and did the work, and I met an incredible man. And with my husband, he's just solid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's no drama.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think charisma or drama can dress as charisma.
Right.
Does that make sense? Like, all right.
Yeah. We get addicted to it. 100%. Mm-hmm.
Drama, but it's dresses. So,
It dresses like it. It's very interesting because that's kind of the same thing with my husband. Like once I met him and I was like, oh
yeah,
this is actually what a relationship is supposed to be like. Yes.
Yeah.
Healthy is, you know, someone asked me, she's like, well, but is it boring? I'm like, no.
Yes.
No.
No.
Yes. I think, yes, it is.
After 20 years,
maturity is like, is realizing it's okay for it to be, for it to be boring. You don't, I mean, I like.
Normal and help. I mean, it's just, well, I told her no, because it's so freeing to not have to be walking on eggshells.
Yeah. Oh, 100%.
Yeah. You're so cute. That's amazing. Yeah.
Well, I think back to this relationship that I had in my 20s that Tab lived through with me, where this guy, I mean, he was really cool. He's a surfer artist, you know, had this really cool scene. And he did all these like grand gestures for me all the time. You know, if a woman, I remember, walked into a bar, a dive bar, was selling the roses, he bought me every rose.
Sure.
You know? And then he treated me like shit when people weren't around, you know?
Yes.
And now I have this husband who will not remember my birthday, asks me every year, you know, what day is Valentine's Day? I mean, like, Tab has to like bang him over the head.
Oh, yeah.
To,
I like, send him texts. I'm like, just a reminder.
You know? And like, it's not exciting in that way, but it's okay. But I would trade it in a million times to not be walking on the eggshells.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I think for me, it was like, do I get this? Do I get to live a life without the eggshells, without the wondering if I'm crazy?
Yeah.
You know,
it's living the life of you.
Yeah.
Like, it's actually, you can be you without
having.
And
there's no try.
Being in a relationship with someone who you never have to question that, you know, those feelings we were talking about in the beginning.
Yeah.
You never have to question, are they, I've never felt that way in 20 years with my husband, that he was flirting with someone.
Oh my gosh. My husband and I, we commute. We've commuted to each other now for, we've been together 10 years, married almost 9. I've never had to wonder.
Yeah.
I've never had to have one inkling of trust be like, subjected to what is he doing?
Yeah.
Or where is he?
I feel like that is so important for all you single ladies out there, is like, if you are getting those vibes, it's not in your head. Run.
Thank you. Yeah. You know, that's the thing too. I think that, you know, as we get stronger within ourselves, that's when that intuition, we just trust ourselves more. And it's when we trust ourselves, then we can really tune out the noise. Because I think that it sounds like we've all experienced the crazy button. You know, it's easy for someone to say, oh, you're so crazy. You're so insecure. Mm-hmm. It's all in your head, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And it's like, no, actually, you're just a jerk.
Right. You have heard me talk about my language learning skills with Rosetta Stone, and I'm telling you, I'm getting really good at it. I learned a little bit of Japanese before we went to Japan last year, and I really love the French language. So I'm learning French at the moment. Bonjour, bonsoir. I'm even getting a little bit of the accent down. Not very good, but I'm getting there. And with Rosetta Stone, it makes it so easy. I download it on my phone. I learn it in the car. It is awesome. You can do it on your desktop, wherever you find it convenient. They are there for you. And they have 25 languages, you guys, that you can use. And right now they are giving a lifetime membership for 50% off. So you can learn as many languages as you want for your entire life, which is amazing. And the best part is it starts off, you know, with just words and then phrases and then sentences. And then you should be able to have a conversation with somebody that also knows the language, which is, you know, my entire goal. So don't put off learning that language. There is no better time than right now. Seriously, get started before your summer vacay. Our listeners get 50% off the lifetime membership. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem it today at rosettastone.com/today.
I'm talking about Rakuten. Have you checked it out? Because I recommend you do. Rakuten is the most rewarding way to shop and save because the members earn cash back on everything they buy. Rakuten is a shopping platform that partners with over 3,500 stores that I know I shop online at, like Zappos, Sephora, and Best Buy. We are all already online shopping at our favorite stores, so why not be saving while doing it? It's a no-brainer. Rakuten is the smartest way to save money when you shop. How it works is the stores pay Rakuten a commission for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the commission with its members. You get paid via check or PayPal quarterly. Membership is free and it's easy to sign up. Start all your shopping at Rakuten.com or get the Rakuten app and start saving today. Your cash back really adds up. This episode is sponsored by Astapro. Thanks, Astapro, for providing Tab and I with samples. Shout out to all my allergy suffering friends out there. You know how they say it's that time of year for allergies? Well, for me, it sort of feels like it's always that time of year. I thought I had tried everything until I recently discovered Astapro. Astapro is the first of its kind nasal allergy spray. It is the fastest 24-hour over-the-counter allergy spray. It starts working in 30 minutes while other allergy sprays take hours. Astapro is the first and only 24-hour steroid-free allergy spray. Astapro delivers full prescription strength indoor and outdoor allergy relief from nasal congestion, runny and itchy nose, and sneezing. Get fast-acting nasal allergy symptom relief with Astapro. Go to astaproallergy.com for a discount so you can Astapro and go today. That's A-S-T-E-P-R-O allergy.com. Astapro and go. It's faster, bro. Use as directed for relief of nasal congestion, runny nose, sneezing, and itchy nose due to allergies. Clink, clink.
Yeah. How did you finally overcome? Like, how did you, I mean, I know you got, you saw it right in front of you at the worst possible moment of your life, right? But then you have to compartmentalize it, and then you have to free yourself from it, and then really truly be yourself. How did that come, and how long has it been?
Well, I took the long way. And my hope with this book is that it will shorten other people's time in doing the work to heal, because I took the long way by getting over it without getting through it, avoiding it. And I got hit in the mouth by, I didn't do the work between the first toxic relationship, which was the guy that died in a plane crash. And then I fell into another one 9 months later. I stayed in that one too long. And that was like a carbon copy because I hadn't done the work. And when I found out that he was, you know, cheating on me, I immediately said, okay, what's the common denominator? Me. So I got to go get to the bottom of me, because this is going to take me out if I don't get a handle on this. And I put myself in what I call emotional rehab. I went to a place in Colorado and I worked with psychologists just to unwind and get to the bottom of. And that was such a great experience, but also it was just the beginning. There's, I mean, from grief counseling, one-on-one to support groups, like I did a deep dive on myself. So I think step one is going, okay, what do I need to do for me to get this out of me? Because to your point, I was so good at compartmentalizing. I could be angry and compartmentalize and just get through the motions of work or whatever I had going on to where I could avoid it. Right? Work was the easiest place for me to avoid it. That's why, you know, being in country music, when my album came out on The Edge, people were confused. They're like, what do you mean? Oh, you have this amazing husband. Like, I go, yeah, this is my prequel. Yeah. This is my before. And then it was like so many questions, because I'm always like, you know, you've got it, you'll get through this. And they're like, what does she have to talk about? Like, she's with her life. She's fine. And then they, you know, heard the story and they're like, oh. And then with the book, it's like, okay, let's create a tool. Let's create a tool for others. So when you ask how long it took me, if I'm being honest, it's been 15 years.
Yeah.
And that's way too long, I think. But that's because I avoided it. I didn't dive into me. I avoided it at all costs because it was so painful.
And when you talk to your husband about it now, and since you've obviously been with him since you kind of found yourself.
Yeah.
What does he think and say? Is he like almost like, wow, you're a new woman in the last like 5 years since you've really found who you are?
So when we first started dating and then, you know, got married and all those things, I think he knew that there was still healing to be done. But he's just a good person. So he's like, you know what? You're going to figure it out. No one can force you to heal faster. Yeah. And I say to him, I'm like, you get the best of me now. It's like you get a new wife. like these last, you know, he's extremely patient and very kind. And, you know, I don't think I really understood when he said, I love you unconditionally. You know, it's one thing to say that. It's one thing. It's another thing to feel that and experience right. that. And now he gets like the, I'm like, aren't you excited for the next 10 years? Like, you don't have all these, like all the stuff to have to like sort through with me, because, you know, again, it's, you can't just get over it. You have to do the work. Right. Yeah. I had to do the work, and this extension, this book is the extension of that. So that hopefully that can truncate any of our listeners, you know, that time, like just read the book. And Keith is, I mean, he's a genius. He's an expert. He's one of the, you know, foremost speakers on narcissism. He's been talking about it for 15 years. And, you know, then we can identify it, and then we can make the move to leave.
Well, I think identifying it is really key, because I think that, like, I mean, we all, I'm sure, would agree, is like when you're in it,
yeah,
you can't see your way out. Mm-hmm. But what I think the book can be like such a tool for is, and why our listeners should all read it, is because it's not just like, if you're in one of these relationships, get out of it. First of all, it's a really good story. Second of all, it is learning the language and how to identify. Like, if our daughter or your friend or somebody is in it,
yeah,
this is what you need to like understand what they are going through and how to help them see the light.
Yeah. And I bet you we all have somebody in our lives that are going through it and do need someone like us to help them realize, right?
And I do.
Okay. Oh my gosh. Sorry.
No, I agree. I mean, I think that I've always learned better through other people's stories.
Yeah.
You know, like I see a movie or a TV show or I hear a podcast, like we learn through other people's experiences. So I think that too, because it's not like just an expert talking about this is someone's real life story. And here are all the components of all the things I missed, the red flags, the things, you know, that I overrode my own, you know, my own system going, hello, this is bad, you know, and I think I'm hopeful that it will be helpful.
Oh, okay. I loved the story about the Rolex and full circle to your dad. Can you tell Tab and our listeners that little part? Yeah.
So the last Christmas we had together, so this would have been December of 2008. I was, you know, we're spending Christmas together, and Paulo had, it was like the last gift he was giving me. And he was the one that had passed away. So this is the Christmas before. And I'm opening this package. And it's a blender box. It's a like for a handheld blender. And I'm like, is he wanting me to be just want me to cook? Like, I'm like,
yeah,
I don't get it. And then I open that, and inside I recognize this green box. And I'm like, oh, this is a Rolex. Like, that's, you know, the green is so identifiable.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
pull it out. And it is this like shockingly, you know, diamond encrusted, very fancy schmancy watch. Now, I mean, he was, you know, he was a hardworking guy. So we thought, right? But I mean, that was an extravagant gift.
Yeah.
Expensive. And very unlike or uncharacteristic of even our, you know, I'm not like, I don't know. It just was very elaborate. So kind of overwhelmed by it. All our friends are like, how can he afford that? And didn't really think anything of it. So then cut to, I'm now having to move out of our house because I wasn't on the lease, which was a whole other thing. And then get relocated. And I don't have a lot of money. I mean, I'm working a full-time job, but you know, you've got to do first and last and deposit. And I'm like, whoa, I can sell the watch. I can sell the watch. That's probably a lot of money. And that will like tie me over. I give it to my friend to take to an appraiser, and the watch is fake. And it was just like, of course it is. Like, why did I even think for a second that it wasn't? And then I had to pay to get it appraised. So it cost me money.
Oh my gosh. Probably more than the watch cost.
Oh, it's just, you know, and I just, it was just one of those things. So I'm in my new little place with my friends, and we're navigating these days, and this box shows up at my house, and it's from my dad. And I open it up, and it's a green box. And it's this very simple, inexpensive, like on the inexpensive spectrum of Rolexes. And he goes, I just want you to have something that's real. So that when you'll know, like when real, like you'll get the real guy. Like, this is a reminder of what's real. And I wear it all the time. I don't have it on right now. I just took it off for my shower. But yeah, it's a really sweet reminder. And it took me a long time to get to the real.
Yeah.
That is an amazing story.
When I was reading, like before I, you know, had gotten to the bottom of that, when I was reading, you were in Arrowhead and he'd given you the watch. Yeah. I'm like, it's fake. Like, I know this guy.
Immediately.
Yeah. Yeah. But I'm 45.
Well, yeah. Listen, you know, like, again, I think that there's something about what I've noticed is like shock, the shockingness of it works in their favor temporarily.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah.
It's, you know, looking back, there's just, you know, so many things that just are like, man, it must have been so exhausting for him. Keeping up so many storylines.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, totally.
Yeah. And, you know, his daughter is absolutely extraordinary. She just turned 28. She is the love of my life. And I just think about that often, like what he must have had happen to him to take him to a place where he had to live in this constant spectrum of lie. And that's healing, right? That's forgiveness, because I couldn't say that 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Well, I think that it's very, it serves them because it's distracting for you.
Sure.
So you have to, you know, see past all of this red flags around you and it's distracting for them because it's keeping them very busy.
Right.
They're not thinking about what's going on with themselves.
Right. Mm-hmm. And he only called me by my last name and I wondered, you know, and I've since reclaimed it. I like put it on my jack. So I'm like the coil.
Yeah. It's a good last name.
Yeah. Thank you. Comes after it. when my dog is really scratching herself. Okay, Pearl. But I wondered if he did that so that he wouldn't accidentally call me by one of the other women's names. That if there was something similar enough, right? So I always thought it was, you know, like what men do, you know, it's like sporty. It's like we're teams. You know, he always played that kind of little sis card until I wasn't. And then as I learned more after he died, I just wondered if there was like a Tiffany or a Brittany or a Jennifer or some name that just was close enough that made him call me.
There was like a Stacy and Stephanie, something like that.
Just, you know, but he only would call me by my last name. And it was always Quail. Why are you so crazy and insecure?
I'm hearing that Destiny's Child song in my head right now. Say my name.
Right?
Yeah. Mm. For real. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you stayed in contact with his daughter.
Yes.
And which is amazing because sometimes that doesn't happen when there is a death or even a breakup, right?
Yeah. She was mine in my heart before he ever was. You know, I fell in love with her the moment I met her, and she's just an incredible young woman. And to lose her dad at 12.
So hard.
And just the way that she has really navigated her own healing through her art, which led me to borrow courage from her and write an album about this that then led me to the book. I mean, her reading the book was probably my most, like, you know.
Yeah, I was going to ask, how did that weigh on you putting such a, it's clear from the book how much you treasure your relationship with her and just from this conversation right now. But how was it putting out such an honest account? How did she react to that?
Yeah, I mean, I had two people when I wrote the album, the two most important people were my husband, David, and Eden. If they were good with it, then I was good. Mm-hmm. And so when I wrote the book, Eden had to read it and I had to know she was good with it. And she's just so profound in her youth, you know, and she goes, well, I had to grow up quickly. I'm like, I know that, but still, she said, who am I to stand in the way of your healing?
Ugh.
Wow.
Just like crushes my soul. And like, precious way. So I remember I was in Montana. I'd sent her the book. We were in like the last, you know, the last like tweaks of edits. And like, I go, okay, now it's ready for her to read and completion. And Keith had all his contributions. And I remember like I was headed to a concert just outside my hometown. And I pulled over and I had a text from her. She's like, hey, I finished the book. Can I call you? And I'm like, okay, I'm ready. I'm not ready. And she just had a couple edits and they were so precious and it had nothing to do with anything that, you know, one would like think maybe like, oh, hey, can you not say that or not? No, she was just so awesome. And she goes, we're going to help a lot of people. And
that's good.
That's a awesome human right there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Well, that is I mean, really, really profound for both of you guys. I am definitely cannot wait to read it. And where can everybody else get it? And
yes.
It came out, when did it come out? Today?
It comes out the 30th of April.
Oh, 30th. Okay.
Yeah, 30th of April. So you can pre-order it now anywhere you get books. So from independent bookstores to all the .coms and Amazon.com for sure and all mm-hmm. the places. Yeah, April 30th. And we did the audiobook, which I'm a singer. Okay. I'm on a microphone all the time. Audiobook, yes. That's a different deal.
And I love that you read it.
I love author.
Author read audiobooks.
Same. I don't believe it when it's not the author.
I know.
I'm the same. Girl.
I get really like my ears can't hear it. It's the strangest thing. Yeah. No, I had to do it.
I'm glad you did.
Yeah. Tabitha listened to the Britney book. I couldn't do it.
And that was Michelle Williams.
Yeah, who is great. So but I can't bring myself to do it.
Yeah, I have a hard time listening to, I think it's one thing when it's fiction, but when it's nonfiction and it's someone's autobiography or it's like an autobiography, memoir, it's hard to not hear it in their words.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, no, I had to do it, but I was surprised because during the process of writing the book, I had aha moments where I was so focused on Paulo and the plane crash and that relationship that when I got through that as I was writing the book and then it kind of hit me in the face, wait, you had a whole other toxic relationship after that with the guy we call the prince. And that moment for me was like, whew, oh, okay. I'm going to take a beat before mm-hmm. I, you know, dive into this one. And then, you know, there were some moments that just broke my heart for my younger self that, you know, I felt so discombobulated. So, you know, there was no self-worth. That was really heartbreaking.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
so you acknowledge, you know, your healing journey continues all these years later and the importance of taking care of your mental health. What does that look like for you
now,
today?
Right? Now, today.
So this is really fun. I was at the CMT Awards the other day and I was, you know, like, how do you talk about this book quickly? You know, like in a, like a quick hit interview. But what I shared with, and this is something that I think is a great first place to start is, the book and writing and like going to all my places, you know, being done avoiding myself, like just going to everything that is scary and dark and heavy and just ripping it wide open and going, okay, we have to deal with this. We have to take this head on. Is that I'm to a place now where I like me. That is so freeing. And, you know, being able to go, okay, how do I feel about me today? Just me by myself, no one, no influence, just, all right, am I good with me? And let that be the foundation. And then whoever comes in to the picture has to be good and elevating and stretching and happy. And I want both of you guys want to hang out. And we're this is a good thing, you know, it has to be good and not be convoluted by other people's behavior and let it, you know, pull you down and pull me down. And that's really exciting. And to know I've done the work and now there's new work because I think that once you address the trauma, at least in my case, I've addressed all this stuff and now other little layers are peeking out. And I'm like, okay, so this situation that happened when I was 19 with a man in power in the entertainment industry, like, okay, that just showed up. Mm-hmm. So what do we have to fix there? What do we have to kind of like, okay, address? Like that'll never happen again. And these, you know, these things, and as we get stronger, our voices get stronger and we don't put up with stuff.
Right.
And then, you know, we don't, I find that bad people don't waste their time on us. We're too strong. They're like, that's too much work. Let's find someone easier. You know, so the goal is to get everybody really strong.
Yeah, that's so true. Yeah. We talked a lot about like sexual harassment in the workplace and stuff in our experiences. I mean, things have just changed so much in the last 20 years, you know?
I mean, when I was 19, had the things that I saw and was witness to, and thank God nothing happened where I had to like deal with that whole rigmarole, but it just, that stuff doesn't happen today because social media, like everyone's got a camera. The conversation is at the forefront. You know, I mean, I'm a very outgoing, we're all strong, outgoing women. And I had moments where my voice was silent
Mm-hmm. I'm sure in the music business,
yeah.
I can't imagine.
Yeah. So
it's that pressure of you're going to ruin my career, blackball me or something.
Yeah. And we just live in a much different time. So it's awesome, you know, with shows like yours to be able to expose and have real conversation so that the listeners have real guidance, tools, what to look for. And just, you know, going back to trusting yourself to a place where you don't, if you get in something, you know how to get out.
Yeah. Right.
Hopefully.
Okay. Well, lastly, I want to thank you on behalf of my husband, because we just got back from a family spring break trip to Hawaii. That's why I'm so tan. I'm looking a little orangey.
I saw your little seashell and I wondered if you'd been somewhere.
Yes. Well, I was incredibly annoyed with him. You know, it's stressful getting it all together with the three kids, and he could not have been less helpful. Okay. But he stayed out late, you know, the night before, the whole thing, right? Thoroughly annoyed. But I started reading the book on the plane and reliving my past bad relationships. And I remembered all those insecurities and eggshells, you know, we've been talking about. And I thought to myself, actually, it is just a damn miracle. I ended up with this man that is not a narcissistic asshole, you know, thank God for him, even if he has no concept of time, organization, and the effort that goes into all of us leaving for a week. Yes.
All the things. Well, you tell him, no problem.
I was a little more forgiving. Yes. Faster than usual on this occasion. By the time I got off the plane, I was like, okay, let's have a Mai Tai and let it go.
Let's go have a Mai Tai. And so fun and wild. It is true. There's so much with relationships in life. But
Stephanie, we all want to listen to you. Also, Gretchen and I have been listening to all of your music. You are an absolute
so good
disco biscuit. And that's what we call beautiful women. Okay.
That we would hang out with.
Yes.
Wait, do you guys have t-shirts?
We do.
I've got to get a disco biscuit t-shirt.
Okay. We can make that happen.
We will send you one.
I love that.
But you guys, she is amazing. Your music is amazing and inspiring and so fun, so easy to listen to. And let's all download this book as soon as it comes out. I am going to do the audio version.
Yes.
Because I am in the car 3 hours a day driving my kiddo to and from school. So it is called, again, Why Do We Stay by Stephanie Quayle. Please, everyone, get it. You will not be disappointed. Her story is amazing and you are amazing and truly a pleasure to talk to.
And tell our readers where we can
find you,
our readers, our listeners, where they can connect with you online.
Yes. So stephaniequayle.com for all of my tour dates when I'll be visiting all the places. I'd love to meet your faces.
Any chance you're going to be in Nashville around the end of May?
Yes.
I am going to be in Nashville. Are you guys coming?
We're coming for CrimeCon. It's a big convention.
CrimeCon?
There is CrimeCon.
Okay, we're gonna have a thing. Can I please just throw me in your bag? I wanna go. This is awesome. Yeah, I'll be there. Okay. So please, this will be very cool. And we'll have to have a night. The Disco Biscuits take Nashville.
That'd be so fun.
Love it.
I love it. And then social media in all the places. All the places where you can find me, you can find me.
Okay. Yes. Go find her and click today. Thank you so much, Stephanie.
Oh, I'm so excited that I'm going to see you all at the end of May.
Christ. Yes. We'll be there May 28th.
Yeah, I love it.
Well, hot damn, Gretchy. That was about the best interview we have had in a minute.
In a hot minute. The book, it is intense.
Yes. Listen, I am downloading the audio version because I love her voice so much, right? I love her singing voice and I know I'm going to love her telling me the story in my ears. And since I drive so much, it's just perfect.
Oh yeah. And listen, it's a real easy read.
Yeah.
Real easy with your eyeballs or your ears, either way. It's a real easy read. The book starts off just so you know, there was no like spoiler with she's cooking dinner. He dies in the plane crash. So, I mean, it doesn't stop from there. It really keeps moving.
Wow.
So you'll definitely enjoy. I also, you know, I wasn't like super familiar with Stephanie's music and everything. And so I've been, you know, stalking her on YouTube and she's great.
Yeah, she really is. Gretchen was sending me all of her videos.
Yeah, I love her videos. The Lost Years video and song. I downloaded. It is really about her story with Paolo. And, you know, I just, we just love her.
She's great. She is great. So definitely go check her out and check out that book. And I hope you guys enjoyed this episode as much as we did. And thank you again for being our bonus subscribers on Patreon. If you listen to us there, clink, clink to that. And if you are on Apple and are listening on the Clink Clink Club, thank you so much. And if you are not listening yet on the Clink Clink Club, join us there. That's all, Gretchy Poo.
Clink, clink.
Clink, clink.